Right, tonight's cheer is on choosing a career. Okay, so let me just preface that I don't have all the answers in terms of what the best career is, but the goal of this year is just to give you some insights that I've discussed with many people, people who I think are more intelligent than I, and I've thought about before I chose my career. And so we'll start out with the most basic principles of what a person should keep in mind when they're trying to pick out which career they want to do. And then we'll go to a couple more complex, like, psychological ideas. Okay? Do you guys mind reading, or do you want me to read? I know with the girls, they don't like reading, so...
If you want to okay. read, you can read.
It's okay if you don't want to read. All right, so you want to read the first... So the first source is and the most basic idea that a person has to keep in mind when they're looking for a career is... Starts with Mishnah and Avos. Parak Aleph, Mishnah, Tesvav. Alright, so what does that mean? Translate? Ooh, putting you on the spot. Alright.
Shammai says, make Torah permanent. Say little and do much, and accept everyone with a good countenance, maybe?
Alright, good. I don't care about the second part of the Mishnah. The main part is Asei Torah Kol Keva. So what does that mean? Asei Torah Kol Keva. So if you look at the second part, the second source, it's Rabbeinu Yonah. So he gives us a little bit more insight into what that means. So, Adam, do you mind reading, or do you want to read? You don't have to read if you don't want. No? Okay. Do you want to read?
Sure.
All right.
Shammai Omer, Asei Torah Kol Keva. Kmo Shamar Avot Rabbi Natan. Kol Asei Torah To Ikar Umalachto Tfeila. Osinoto ikar lo lama ba aval osin malachto ikar v'torato tefela osinoto tefela lo lama ba.
Okay, go on.
Rotei lamar ima lo asa averot v'losa hatora ikar afilu imizke liot began eden tefela yeshama.
Okay, so what does that mean? I'll translate. So Rabbeinu Yonah, he's saying that a person has to make their Torah essential, primary, and their malacha secondary. Why? Because he says anybody who makes his Torah primary and his malacha, his work, secondary, he will partake of Olam Haba primarily. And if he makes his malacha tafel, his malacha ikar, his malacha essential, and his Torah secondary, so in Olam Haba he'll be secondary. He'll partake of it secondarily. So the first principle of looking for a job is how to value work. So what exactly is Rabbeinu Yonah saying in this Mishnah? So they're saying that you have two value systems. You have Torah and you have malacha. And basically what the Mishnah is saying is that Torah has to be number one, and malacha has to come after that. It has to be tafel to it. So why do you guys think that? Why would you say that Torah should be ikar and malacha tafel? Why not the other way around? Just give me a possibility.
Sometimes work has a tendency to draw you in, and you end up forgetting about Torah. So if, like... In other words, work is like kind of just necessary. You need to work in order to make a living, so you're kind of forced to do that. But you're not really forced to learn. So if you make Torah Keva, you're going to have to end up doing work no matter what. So you're just going to end up keeping Torah in your life.
Okay, but why is Torah better than work? Let's say a guy spends his whole life working. Won't he have a better life, maybe? I don't know. Why?
It's a whole different shit. I don't know.
That's the method of attaining a certain perfection.
Okay, good.
So, like, insofar you want to make that your primary to attain, insofar as that's your purpose.
Okay.
Where the job is a means, not the end, kind of, like, you know, so the one that achieves your purpose is the one you're going to go for.
Okay. Okay. Anybody else?
I didn't answer why that is the purpose. I don't know why that is the purpose.
Well, I think Rabbeinu Yonah is just saying from a rewards perspective.
Oh, okay.
You know, your soul is everlasting. You know, it lasts beyond this world. So the reward of involvement in Torah is far greater than the reward of working, because working is limited. It's limited to this world.
But shouldn't that make it sound like you should only learn Torah?
Oh, so that's the next. You see, you're one. That's the next step. Okay.
I didn't read
it
and translate.
All right. So the first step. Okay. So that's a good point. So the first step. Oh, let me just give you a flash forward to the rest of your lives. Okay. So you're gonna be you're gonna have a job, hopefully, and you're gonna be married and have children, and you're gonna want to learn. So you get home from work, and you have these driving forces. Like, you want to spend time with your family, your children. You also want to learn. So I would define the three main priorities of a man in this world is spending time at work and energy. Is spending time and energy at work, spending time and energy with your family, and spending time and energy with learning. And those are constantly conflicting with one another. So just warning you about the future. But just before you get to that point, at least when you're choosing a job, at least know straight out from the bat what your priorities are. Is your priority going to be spending time with your family? Is your priority going to be working? Or is it going to be Torah? So before you look for a job, at least align it properly in your value system. And the Chazal is saying that your value system should be Torah first. They don't really mention family, but Torah should be first. But family is important. But Torah should be first, and Malacha should be secondary, okay? But you asked a good question about you still have to work, right? Okay, so that's the next source, okay? So the first step is assessing your value system. So before you look for a job, recognize the value of a job relative to Torah. If Torah is primary and your job is secondary, that should affect your decision-making, if you agree with that. And if you agree with the point that Torah is more satisfying and it provides a greater reward than Malacha, then you'll internalize that idea. All right? Correct? All right. So next point. I forgot your name. I'm sorry.
What's
Daniel. Your? Daniel. So Daniel made a point. If you look at the next Mishnah, so it's the Mishnah Avos Parak Beis Mishnah Beis. So it says Rabban Gamliel Beno Shor Rabbi Yehuda Anasi Omer Yafe Talmud Torah Im Derech Eretz Shigia Shneim Mishkachas Avon. So Torah, learning Torah with Derech Eretz, which is like proper manners, is good because both of them come to create a forgiving of sin. V'chol Torah She'enima Malacha Sofa Betela. So any Torah which doesn't have malacha with it, it'll eventually be batel. It'll be nullified, vigoreris avon, and it ends up causing sin. Okay, so this is in line with Daniel's point. So if you look at, this is the second basic idea. If you look at Rashi, he's on the right. So do you mind reading? Okay, so what does Rashi say? He says basically a guy needs to work. Why? Because if he doesn't work, he's not going to have any food. And if a guy doesn't have any food, he's going to end up robbing people. He's going to end up stealing. And then he's going to end up forgetting his learning. So this is simple, right? So what's he saying basically? He's basically saying that a guy, he can't, if a guy's poor and he has no money, so he's not going to be able to learn because he won't have time to learn. And he'll be involved in sin. Not only will he not learn, but it will cause imperfection. So you see, you shouldn't resent work, but there is a value to work. And the value of work is that a person needs food to learn. If he doesn't have food, he doesn't have mazonos to learn, then he won't be able to learn. So if you look at Rabbeinu Yonah, he kind of echoes the same point. Daniel, do you mind reading?
Sure.
It's longer.
As long as you're translating.
All right, I'll translate, okay? Don't worry.
Vigorer avon zehu avon ke mashia.
Okay, so if a person doesn't work, so it causes them to be poor, because you need to work to make money to buy food, and that causes sin. Okay, go on. So a person will be dependent on matanos, on gifts from other people, because that's the only way he'll be able to live. Go on. So he's going to try to flatter people. He's going to coerce them into giving him money. Kovyustus. It means a gambler. He'll be a ganav.
Like dice.
Yeah, yeah. Good.
V'yavi gazelat.
Okay, go on. Okay, so he's going to bring the gzela, that which he stole, so that he doesn't die from starvation. Okay, so guys, there's not going to be any stop on his ruach, on his soul, and he won't stop until he violates every avera of the Torah.
Ki avera gorer avera, the alze amru rabotenu zichronam debracha b'mesachet chulin kol hanene migio alav hakatuv omer yagia kapecha ki tochel ashrecha tovla.
Okay, so we say avera gereres avera. So one avera causes another avera, and this is what the Rabbanan say in Chulin, that anybody who gains benefit from his own work, so it says yigia kapecha kitzochel, so the work of his, the labor of his hands, he will eat ashrecha v'tovlach. It is good, and it is good for him. V'tovlach ashrecha means happy or a treasure. V'tovlach, it's good for him. Go on.
Ashrecha be'olam hazeh v'tovlach lo olam haba.
Okay, fine. So what's he saying? He's basically saying the same point that Rashi, similar point to Rashi. He's saying that basically if a guy doesn't work, he's going to be poor, and then that's going to cause him to do sin. But he actually introduces an interesting idea. Maybe we could define it. There's an idea of avera gereres avera, that if a person does one avera, it causes another avera. So why do you guys think that's the... Why do you guys think that's the case? Why do Chazal say that if a person does one avera, it causes other averas? What do you guys think? No pressure.
We actually just did this, Mishnah with Ryan Markowitz on this past Friday.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
It's not a good sign.
No, I mean, I have his idea, but I had a different idea than he did.
All right, so share your idea.
I thought that a lot of the resistance to hate, if you're not like perfect, if you don't have knowledge about it, is based on just like the fear of the guilt that you have.
Okay.
But once you start doing it and you reflect back on the experience, you realize that, you know, it's just an emotion. You know, like you don't actually, and you may feel a little bit of guilt, but like the resistance to it was kind of a lot worse than you thought.
Right.
So eventually you're just going to keep breaking down that guilt and you're going to lead to many more averos.
So I agree with you. So you're saying that basically what's the idea of avera gereres avera? You're saying once the floodgates open, they're open. Basically, right. A person has resistance to doing that first chait. But once you break down that resistance, which is an emotional resistance, oftentimes that leads a person to not have any restriction on his emotions, his instincts, and that leads a person down the wrong path.
Right.
So one leads to the other, because once you break down that first taboo, that first sense of restriction, then it opens up the floodgates.
Right.
Okay, I agree with that. Okay, fine. But the main point, so why did I bring this in? So the second concept of looking for a job is that you need a job to make money, and if you don't have money and you're poor, you're not going to be able to learn. So on the one hand, we say that you have to assess your value system, so it has to be Torah first and then Malacha. But on the other hand, you have to recognize that Torah is dependent on Malacha. So a guy can't learn Torah and he can't gain insight into Torah if a guy's poor, and it's even bad for his perfection if a guy's poor, because if a guy's poor, it'll end up causing him to take drastic measures and it'll cause him to violate the Torah. Okay?
And what was the quote? Yagia Kapecha?
That's a pasuk. It says "Yigia kapecha ki sochel." So the labor of his hands, he eats from ashrecha. It's happy or good treasure. Oh, okay. It's like a treasure of a tovlach. It says ashrecha b'olam hazeh. It'll be happy in this world. The tovlach, it'll be good for him in olam haba.
And it says that almost like without being connected to Torah, like it's saying it's almost on.
Yeah, yeah.
Like I guess could that be where people would maybe think that it could go before Torah, because it just says it as a good thing. So like,
oh yeah, I mean. It could be. I don't know. Yeah, it could be. All right, we'll get to... All right, so we have two points. Now, we're going to start getting into the more, I think, interesting insights coming up. But the first two points is like what I said, which is that you have this assess your value system. This should all be done before you... I don't know what you guys are up to in your search for a career. But before you search for a career, you should have these principles in mind. Principle number one, what is my priority system going to be when I'm in that situation, when I have a family, when I have a job, when I have Torah, like which one's going to come first? And number two, I have to recognize that work is necessary to learn. So even though I recognize, according to Chazal, that Torah is first, I recognize that work is necessary. Okay? You guys accept that? This is based on the Chazals, right? I'm not distorting anything. Or,
well,
no?
Based on the last one, I guess you could say that you still need to work because it says like it's good for you to be working and eating from that. But like, what if you... With if like your parents are rich and you
that's a good question. We're gonna get to that.
Inheritance.
We're gonna get to that. That's a good question. Okay. Chazal seemed to say that's not a good situation in general.
So how would this apply to women?
To women? We'll get to that. We'll get to that. All right. So that's principle one, principle two. So now principle three, which I think is a simple principle. So the third principle is that a person needs to find enjoyment in their work. Okay? So, there's a Gemara that's a Raya. That's a proof for that idea. So the Gemara, I'll give you a background on the Gemara. The Gemara a lot of times takes up remedies for various illnesses. It's to demonstrate that the Chazal had knowledge, not just in, even though their science we know now is, it might have been off, and we have different forms of medicine, but it demonstrated their knowledge and their level of knowledge, that they had knowledge not just in Torah, but they had knowledge in science and in medicine. So the Gemara in Gittin, it asks, how do you remove the chills? Like, how do you remove that sense of colds that comes about either through being sick? What do you do to remove that? So the Gemara, if you look at, it says, Talmud Bavli, Maseches Gittin, it's on Daf, Samach Zayin Amud Beis. It says, Rav Yosef Iasek Berechaya. So how did he remove the chills? So Rav Yosef, he got involved in working with the millstone, which was something that crushed wheat. And Rav Sheshes, he asek b'kshuri. And Rav Sheshes, he involved himself in kshuri, which is carrying beams. He would carry large beams. And then he says, Amar gedola malacha. Malacha is great. Shemecha memes es baleha. It causes that does malacha to be warm inside. So the cure for the chills is the manual labor. So what do you see from this Gemara? Why did I bring this? If you look at Rashi, sorry, just... The next source, he says, Rav Yosef Yasek Litalga, which means to wash wheat, berechayim, in the millstone, Kadeshi Yechamein V'yazia, it would cause him to warm up and sweat. And Bechshuri is Lases Koros Umasos. So Rav Sheshes would carry beams, that was his job. He would carry, it would be like a lager, basically. So the Gemara, so why am I bringing this in? Because you see from these cases that they found some enjoyment in their work. So my third principle is that a guy, you can't go to work and resent your job every day. The guy goes to work and he hates what he does, he's just going to be a miserable person. So Chazal, they recognize that Torah has to come first, and they also recognize that malacha is essential to learning, but there's an idea, at least psychologically, that a person needs to enjoy or find enjoyment in work. And so how do you go about doing that? So you have to, how do you know what you like to do? You just analyze yourself, right? You analyze what you're good at, what you're bad at. You analyze what you enjoyed in high school, for example, or in college, what you didn't enjoy. What did you enjoy? What subjects?
Kind of all of them.
All of them? Any particular?
It's kind of a problem.
I was in a similar situation.
I liked history, but...
I liked history, too. I was a history major.
Didn't know what to do. Yeah, I was a history major.
Okay.
History pre-med.
All right. All right, so you like history. Okay. What kind of personality... You also have to assess your personality. Are you good with... Do you like working by yourself? Do you like interacting with other people? Which one? Which one would you prefer? Some people like sitting in a desk and, like, not seeing other people and not interacting with other people. Other people like that interaction.
I guess I like more interaction.
You like interaction. Okay, good. So, right now, though, with your basic things that you like, there's a large array of jobs that you could do, right? It's not just, like, one particular job. Right. Okay. What do you like doing?
Chemistry,
okay. What kind of personality?
Interactive.
You like interactive, yeah. Okay. Alright, that's good.
Yeah.
Alright, what about you, Adam?
Yeah, I like sciences in general, technology.
Okay, good. So
programming, physics, math, that field in general, all things related to technology, engineering.
Alright, good. Alright, so you guys know what you guys like to do. A lot of times people don't know what they like to do. He's not sure.
Daniel's, like reading.
You like reading.
Yeah. But not right. Doing anything. It doesn't make any money. People are like, oh, you like history? I was like, no, I just like reading it. None of the work.
All right. But at least you guys have analyzed. A lot of people don't know what they like doing, and they just go into, they don't really think about, you know, what I liked, what I didn't like. A lot of times other emotions are involved in making that decision as to what you do. So the Chazal, they're saying that a person has to, I think they're indicating that a person has to analyze what they like, what they don't like. And it doesn't have to be like an intellectually challenging job, but like you see over here, what do they like about their work? They did menial labor, but they like the fact that it heated them up. So some people like work because they can be outdoors. Some people like being indoors. Whatever it is, you need to find something redeeming about your job. You can't go to work every single day and just hate your job, you know? So that's the third principle, okay? All right. So the next principle is the more controversial one, which I'm sure we might get some debate about. Okay? All right. So if you look at the Mishnah, it's a Maseches Avos, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Yud. All right, so who just read last? Was it...
Me or you.
All right. So I'll read, okay? All right, so it says, Shemaya v'Avtalion kibbu mehem. So Shemaya v'Avtalion kibbu mehem, there's a Masilra for them. Shemaya Omer. Shemaya said, Eho v'esamalacha, you should love work, usna es harabanos, and you should hate positions of leadership. V'altis vada l'rishos, and you shouldn't become intimate with the government, with leaders, okay? So you shouldn't be involved in the political realm. Okay, so what do we learn from El Avis and Malacha? Okay, so do you mind reading?
Yeah. El Avis and Malacha. Kida Amar Mar Pisho Nevelsa Beshuka.
Right.
Velo Tamar Gavaraba Ana. Shemitel Shehu Torud Achar Mizonosav Lo Yavo Lide Listus. Vein of Spartans mitoch kuba shal tzedaka v'yamav ma'arichin. Shnemar v'soni matanos yichya.
Right, okay. So what does that mean? So there's a Gemara. The Gemara says that Rav said, flay the nevela. Nevela is a dead animal, dead carcass. So take off its skin, b'shuka, in the shuk. And don't say, v'lo temar gava rabba ana. I'm too good. I'm too important to do this. Shemitoch shehu tarad acham ezonos av lo yavo lide listos. So by engaging in this work, he's not gonna have to, he's gonna get paid and he'll have money and he won't be engaged in robbing people and he won't have to rely on other people for money. And it says, like it says, a person should hate gifts and a person who hates gifts will live. And we learned, which is the pasuk that we mentioned before. So what's the idea of Elvis Amalacha according to Rashi? What's the main idea? The main idea is that a person he shouldn't think that some work is too low for him to do. So like the Gemara says, Pshut Nevelta, so to take off the skin of a dead animal is not exactly a prestigious job. And but nevertheless the Gemara is telling us that in situations where a person needs money, he should never say, "Oh, I'm too good for this job." But he should rather just do the work and get paid and be quiet. If you look at the Rambam, so I just quoted the Gemara. The Gemara is pretty much like Rashi says. But if you look at the Rambam says Gedolei Chachmei Yisrael. So the greatest Chachamim, wise people of Yisrael, Hayu Mehen Chotfei Eitzim. They were wood choppers. Hillel Zakein was a wood chopper. Umehen shove mayim, and some of them were water drawers. Umehen sumim, some of them were blind. Ve'afal pichein, nevertheless, how you oskin b'talmud Torah b'yom uvalayla, so they would engage in Torah in the daytime and the nighttime. Ve'hem mechlal ma'atikei ashmua ish mipi Moshe Rabbeinu, and these people were part of the mesora, the tradition, mouth for mouth from Moshe Rabbeinu. So the Rambam is telling you that the greatest chachamim of Klal Yisrael did these menial jobs. They were woodchoppers. They and hayumehen shovei mayim. So they were water drawers. So you see that there's no shame. The Rambam is saying there's no shame in doing a menial labor. And in fact, the greatest of our rabbis, of our scholars, were people who did menial labor. Okay. So now this is the main one of the main points that I wanted to take up. So what exactly is Rashi saying here? Rashi, it seems like he's saying that in the ego, the person's ego, should not prevent them from working, right? Prevent a person from being engaged in working. So why not? Why do you guys think that ego should not prevent a person from working? What does that indicate about the person? If a person says, "Oh, I can't do this job because I'm too good," what does it indicate about his value of work? What?
The chooser doesn't care what the work is because he knows that the result of the work is just for his Talmud Torah.
All right, good. But basically, a guy who can't let's say a guy can't, he doesn't want to do the menial labor. So what does that demonstrate about his value of work? He overvalues it. He looks at work as something that defines him. You know, like we live in the modern Orthodox society, your work really defines you. Like you go to shul and everybody asks you, what do you do for a living? It's really like, it's really integrated into the person's ego and how the person feels about himself. So basically what Chazal are saying is that if a person has the proper attitude towards work and they view it as secondary to Torah, so they really won't have a problem with doing something menial. But if a person has an overvalues work and he thinks that it defines him, so then that person, he's not going to want to do something that's beneath him. And I actually know somebody, I don't think he's going to listen to the share, but I know somebody who had a job in pharmaceuticals, and he was doing accounting in pharmaceuticals, and he lost his job, and for 2 years, the guy refused to get any other job that was beneath the pay scale or the prestige of his previous job. So the guy and his family were living on stucco for like 2 years. And like the guy could have he could have gotten any job. He could have gone to the supermarket and become a bag boy or whatever, or become a cashier, but he refused to do a job that was beneath him. So, I mean, it's a sad thing that the person can't do that, but it demonstrates the value that the person has of the work, because he's saying that his work really is part of his definition is integrated into his self-esteem. I'm sure we all know people like that who would never do like a job that's beneath them.
It's funny you say that, because when I went to visit Seattle for the first time this past summer, and we were like buying groceries or beer or something at like one of the grocery stores, and some guy was talking. The guy who was like bagging our bags was started talking to Matt Shinoise. He was like, "Oh yeah, did you listen to Ray Moskow this year?" I'm like, "What?" I was like, "He was like wearing a hat. I didn't recognize him." I'm like, "Oh," and apparently it's just a guy from shul.
Right,
that's his job.
Right, right.
Yeah,
right. So that guy has
see that out here, you know.
Right, right. So that guy's attitude towards work is a proper attitude. Right. But a guy who has an improper attitude towards work, if he loses his job, he won't be able to do a job that's beneath him, that he feels is beneath him. But you see from the Rambam that it's not just in a situation where a person loses their job, but even primarily when they're looking for a job, because you see that the Chazal, they took jobs that were menial. Like, they could have taken jobs that were more prestigious. I'm sure they're very intelligent. Hillel was very intelligent. Rav Yosef, Rav Sheshes, like in the Gemara. They're very intelligent people, but they specifically chose jobs where the labor was menial labor. So, of course, I just want to give over a couple insights, and you guys can maybe debate me on this, about this topic. So, like I said before, we have to be realistic. So we're not on the level of Chazal, I don't think. And it's very difficult for a person to not identify themselves with their jobs, especially like in the society that we live in. Pretty much everybody that you know in modern society, or a large percentage of people define themselves based on their jobs. You know, I'm a doctor, I'm a lawyer, I'm an accountant. So we live in that society. So growing up in that society, you can't prevent your own psyche from looking at a job in the same manner. There's got to be a part of you that identifies yourself by your job and your self-esteem by your job. So that's important. Let's be honest. We're not on the level of Chazal. None of you are going to be garbage men, I don't think, or going to be bag boys. I don't think. Maybe after this year, but I don't think we're on that level. So we do have some ego attached to our jobs, which is normal. Point out a couple of situations where the ego is deceptive. You know, sometimes it's important to have ego, or it's natural to have ego in your job, but sometimes that could cause you to make mistakes and to go into areas or career areas which end up taking a person away from that primary objective, which we said in the first place was putting Torah first and putting your malacha second. Okay, so there's three principles that I have in terms of job searching. So one is assume the average. That's my first principle. So what do I mean by that? So a guy, before he goes into a career, a lot of times the guy wants to know what his hours are going to be like and how much money he's going to make. So you have like these websites like salarywizard.com. I used to go on these websites, and they give you the whole percentage, and they give you the 25th percentile, the 75th percentile, and they tell you what the average salary is in between, you know, the 50%. So when you're looking at that salary wizard, right, in the back of your mind, your ego is telling you that you're in that 75th percentile. It's hard to avoid that. So one piece of advice I would recommend is that a person has to be happy with being in the 50th percentile, meaning it might be that you'll be exceed in your profession. Like maybe you'll be that that one guy and who's the garbage man who makes $100,000. But you can't go in with that assumption. In other words, go into the profession assuming that you'll end up in the 50th percentile. And if that is something that you're happy with, then great, you'll be happy. And if you exceed that, you'll be even happier. But don't assume that you're in the 75th percentile. So a lot of times when a person's analyzing which job to go into, they automatically, because their ego is behind it, they automatically assume that they're going to be in that top percentile of wage earners. So my first piece of advice in terms of not letting the ego deceive a person and put them in a situation where they're going to be unhappy is the idea of assuming the average. So if you, for example, I know you want to be a dentist, right?
Yeah.
So if you went on Salary Wizard and you looked at the average dentist, you can also find out the average hours. I would suggest talking to many people, not just one person. But if you found out what the average hours were, what the average stress level was, and also what the average salary was, and you were happy with that, you know, in terms of career and the future. So if that were the case, then I would say, you know, go into it. But don't assume that you're going to be in the... You might end up being there, but don't assume it.
Right.
So that's the first principle, okay? But that's... Some people... A lot of people make mistakes in that area. They assume that they're going to be smarter. They're smarter than everybody else, and therefore they're going to be in that top. So don't assume that, and if you don't assume that, you won't be disappointed. All right? First principle. All right, second principle. Do you guys accept that? Do you agree with that?
Sounds sound.
All right. Second principle of searching for a job. Don't judge the individual. So what do I mean by that? This is kind of a takeoff on the last point, but a lot of times... You look at an individual and you say, I want to be like that guy. Like, that guy looks like he made a lot of money and he must therefore have done something right. So I'm going to be like that guy, right? But a lot of times, if you don't know the person personally and you just know, let's say that guy's a lawyer and you know that he has a huge house and he has a lot of time with his family, and you say, that guy did it, so why can't I be like that guy? But the problem with that approach is that you don't know all the factors in that person's life that made him successful or that how he makes money. In other words, just because the guy's a lawyer doesn't necessarily mean that all his money is coming from law. A lot of people have external sources of money. You know, it could be from rich parents or rich in-laws, or it could be the guy won the lottery. You have no idea. So the idea is that don't choose a career based on one individual who appears to be the exception, because you don't have all the facts in front of you. So if you talk to the individual and the individual explains to you how they set up their business and how it works, that's one thing. But to just look at the individual and say, I want my life to be like that, I'm going to go to, let's say, law school and I'm going to end up like that guy, when you don't know all the factors in that guy's life is a mistake. But I think that happens a lot. I think a lot of times people, they leech onto that individual and they say, I'm going to be like him. And that ends up backfiring. So that's the second principle. I remember when I was looking for a job, I used to look at one individual in specific, and I used to think, like, I used to fantasize that I would be like that guy. You know, he learns a lot, he has good money, but it turns out that the person has a lot of family money. So to make your decision based on superficialities of what the person looks like, he looks happy, he looks like he has a lot of time, and he looks like his job is good, is a mistake. You always want to get as many facts as possible, and you want to survey many people in the area. So don't just go to one person, but go to many people. Okay? Second piece of advice. All right. The third piece of advice, which you guys may argue with me about, is that fields that are prestigious and that usually tend to attract people who are very highly motivated and ambitious people, and usually people who are typically more intelligent than the average population, at least more studious than the average population. For example, like a medical school. So in order to get into medical school, you have to be somebody who did well in college. You have to be somebody who's somewhat ambitious. You have to be somebody who's driven, right? So the typical person who's going to a graduate school is typically driven, ambitious, and motivated to make money and to succeed. But a lot of times what happens is you go to graduate school and you're this guy who's married. A lot of times Jewish guys get married. They're married. They have kids. You want to learn. And a lot of times what ends up happening is that the people, the other people who are in school with you, their whole lives are their work, because we live in such a work-centric society that people who are non-Jews are people who don't value Torah. So their primary value system is their work, and they define themselves by their job. So now you're going to this graduate school with this other value system that you've assessed before you went into this career, and now you're competing against people whose only value system is work, and who are very driven, very intellectual people, and very ambitious people. So just know that you're setting yourself up for a lot of work, and a lot of times a lot of work means taking away from your priorities, from your priority system of Torah. So before you enter into any profession which is, you know, prestigious, quote unquote, just recognize the fact that the people that you're going to be competing against in graduate school as well as in the workplace, they're very intelligent people, they're competitive, ambitious people, and you're going to be competing against those people, and their only value system is their work, whereas your value system, like we said before, should be Torah as your primary. So when you compete against those people, it's going to be very hard to maintain your value system when you're competing against people who are equally as smart as you and who are driven only by work. So that's something to take into consideration before you go into a prestigious field. I'm not saying that anybody, I'm not discouraging people from going into, let's say, becoming a doctor or becoming a lawyer, but just recognize what you're getting yourself into. You know, a guy thinks that it's going to be easy, but just recognize that the people that you're going with and the people that you're competing against are equally as driven, equally as smart. The ego part of you is saying, they're not as smart as me, I'm smarter than them. But the reality is the 50th percentile, assume the average. So if you assume the average, and these people are very smart people, like you are smart, but they're driven primarily by their work, you're going to be working hard. And it's going to take away from your ability to maintain your value system of Torah first and Malacha second. You guys agree with that point?
Partially.
Partially. Okay, good. You got some takers. Go ahead.
Some fighters. I think overall it's a good principle. I think in general you see that, I guess, Jews are like more in general, even if you have learning as a priority, you see that they score better and do better on the average, I think. Just facts.
No, but that's in college. But once you get to the medical school, once you get to these prestigious graduate schools, these non-Jews are very, very intelligent people.
Yeah, I think so.
I've had many friends. My brother went to dental school. I've had many friends in yeshiva who went to dental school, and I know you're going to dental school. But my friends say they had people in their class who would spend all night studying.
Right.
And my friend, he has a family, and he wants to learn. So just recognize that that's who you're going into the workplace against, because they're going to be competing for business as well. So you're going up against people who are just extremely, and maybe you are smarter than them, but you have these other priorities also, and they don't. They only have work. So now it's like an unfair playing field. So just recognize that you're going into an unfair playing field.
No, I agree 100% with that. They definitely have more time, and they can spend all night learning. All night studying.
Right,
for sure.
And you have to go home, and you have a family, and you want to learn. So if you want to do all those things, and you still want to do well in school, and you're competing against people who are very driven people, it's a difficult situation. And not just in graduate school, but beyond that, because that's an innate part of many of these people's personalities. That's why they're going into these fields.
Right.
Because they're driven, ambitious, intelligent people. Yeah. Sorry. Oh, he raised his hand. Go on.
I always, like, whenever work's discussed, like, work and learning, it's always very, like, these are two separate things. You can't do them at the same time. Like, you shouldn't use Torah to get your money, even.
Yeah,
that's one of the ideas. But I never really hear anyone talking about maybe doing work that would be living Torah. Like, you always hear about the learning Torah is something we have to do outside of work. But why can't you have a job that, in addition to getting money, in addition to being something you enjoy, like, does something that you find in line with Torah and mitzvot? Like, if your job helps contribute positively in some way to
that's important.
Like, so
too.
why
it's not
Why isn't that a factor?
What job are you referring to? Is there,
there must be something like social work type things. There's like things where you're helping people,
right?
Or
so,
I guess bettering, but like that's never usually. Usually,
but
it's
ultimately,
like,
but,
it as just
but ultimately, if you're spending your whole day in social work and you're not learning at all, the point is that you need to learn. Also, there's you need to work on your personality. You need to do mitzvos, your chayav mitzvos. You need to learn. All those things are part of Torah. So yeah, I agree with you that going into a job where you're helping people is beneficial to your personality and your perfection, but you also have to learn, and you have to find time to learn. I mean, that's so.
But
yeah,
if we're assuming, I guess that's mine's ignoring the time constraints of different jobs. But like, let's say all jobs are equal,
yeah,
in terms of how much you need to work. Why
I heard
is
this
that
on,
never?
Everybody helps people by the. I mean, I heard this on the
no,
tape.
Yeah,
I heard this on the tape once, but. I think it was Ryan Moskowitz, but I'm not sure. But he said, he asked these guys, I think he said, what do you want to do? So a guy said, I want to be a doctor. So he said, why do you want to be a doctor? So the guy said, because I want to prevent the spread of disease, which is harmful to humanity. So Ryan Moskowitz said, so then why not be a garbage man? Because he said, if you don't have garbage man, so then you have you have disease spreading because you have all this refuse all over the place. So everybody, even a garbage man, helps society. Maybe not in the same direct fashion as a doctor, but they're still helping just as much as a doctor, and they're just as important in terms of making society run. So, yeah.
So, that's like addressing things like lifestyle as opposed to just money or prestige or something like that.
Yeah.
Like, people need a certain amount just to kind of either based off of factors like where they grew up, maybe they grew up in a richer house or a poorer house,
yes,
or middle house or whatever, all those kind of factors. So it's, I don't think the value is necessarily always just in money or prestige. It happens to be like just lifestyle. For instance, you know,
right,
people,
I agree with you 100%.
Right, so like people like, for instance, want to make aliyah, which
yeah,
it's harder to do things there for job, but they needed it. So I'm saying, how would you take into those factors when you...
Right, a guy has to be honest with... unfortunately, psychologically, a lot of us grew up in these modern Orthodox communities where there's a lot of money and you're used to a certain standard of living, and it's very difficult psychologically to break that down. So you definitely have to take that into account. But ultimately, the primary principle is Torah first. Aseh Torah Keva u'malachtecha Arayah. You always have to keep that in mind. Now, sometimes you're going to have to suffer psychologically and accept like a lesser lifestyle, and it takes a while to adjust to that. But I just think that that's something. I agree with you that it's something. It's very hard to do for a person who grew up with a certain lifestyle. But if you keep the main priority in mind, which is that Torah comes first, so then you'll try to work out a job or profession. I'll give you a couple of examples. But you'll try to work out a profession which gives you the most amount of time and energy that you can put into Torah, and also live at least at a lifestyle that's somewhat commensurate with your psychological needs. You know. But I hear the point. You know, we do live in a society which is very expensive, and people are raised in homes where they're used to having a high standard of living. So a lot of times when you make the decision of Aseh Torah Shekeva, you're going to have to take a hit on that, on your lifestyle. And that's hard psychologically, but it might be worth it in the long run. All right. So you guys have any questions? So you agree with those three... Do you agree with those three principles? The principle number one is assume the average. So don't look at the salary wizard and assume you're in the 75th percentile. Principle number two is don't choose a career based on an individual, because you don't know all the factors in that individual's life that's causing their success. And principle number three is that when you go into areas, into fields where there are very ambitious people, like in not just prestigious fields, but also financial fields, when you go into areas where there are very ambitious people who are very driven, just know that you're competing against people who are very smart, intelligent, and that competition is gonna be harmful in general in terms of your ability to prioritize learning, because you're competing against people who are, you know, very smart, very driven.
So what exactly does this leave for us?
We'll get to that at the end.
I think you mentioned before that this is all just a big plug for physical therapy.
Oh, no, I'm not gonna. No, I'll tell you, I'll be honest with you about the pros and cons of my job.
Yeah.
You know, I'll tell you right now, since we're the pros of my job is that I get home at 4:30 every day. The pros are that there's very little stress in my job. The pros are that I have the money is okay. No, it's not bad. It's decent. It's not great, but it's decent. The cons are sometimes work is really boring. I'm just very bored there. Money isn't great. So, you know, it's expensive to live, but the money's good.
Mm-hmm.
And what else is... I mean, the boring part is a big con for me. What else is...
Does your wife work?
Oh, yeah, that's another con. Right. My wife works... my wife has to work part-time. She works 3 days a week because of the fact that, you know, you can't make $300,000 being a physical therapist. So, pros and... But, on the other hand... You know, I'm able to learn when I get home. I'm able to learn at nights. It's great, you know, so that's good. And I don't really have so much stress. But like I said, the job is boring at times. I do have time to think when I'm working, so I can work out ideas and I can think about Torah, which is good. So whatever, those are the pros and cons. I'm not going to say it's the best job ever. And if you don't like it, like I said before, if you don't enjoy any aspect of it, then you're just going to resent the job and you're going to be unhappy. Yeah.
So you mentioned like a two-income household versus having a one-income household. So like you have to decide whether you want to be primarily working or home or how you want to do that.
Yes, that's also a factor they have to consider.
So
also,
like, for instance, say you want to work,
but
or
you can't,
I want to work,
but you can't sacrifice your. It's important for like it's important for your wife to be home. I think that's the ideal situation to raise the children herself. But if you're not learning because you're working all the time, then your kids aren't going to see Torah learning in the house. And what value is that? In other words. If the kids don't see that their learning's a priority because you're never home and you're working all the time, so then it's great that your wife's home watching the kids.
Wouldn't that just mean you just kind of lower your standard even more so you can make it happen?
Yeah, if you can. Yeah, if you could do that psychologically, then yeah. If you could live like a pauper then and psychologically be okay with that, and your wife, that's... I was talking to Rabbi Zimmer about that. But yeah, your wife is a big part of... or your spouse is a big part of choosing your career because yeah, there's a lot of things that you want, but you have to be on the same page with your wife in terms of what you both want. You know, is learning a priority to her? And if your wife is demanding that you make $500,000 a year, then and she can't live less than that, then you're going to be an unhappy person as well.
What about the people of us? It's off a side because he's actually getting married. He has somebody can talk about specifics about that. But those of us who do not have that worked out yet, we don't have, are not engaged, and we don't know who our wife is going to be or what her expectations will be necessarily. What would you recommend for?
Actually, I was talking to Rabbi Zimmer today about that, and he said that he thinks that's why Chazal said you should get a job first before you get married. Why? So that the woman. We're joking a little bit about it, but that the woman knows what she's getting herself into. In other words, this is what I am. This is how much money I'm going to make, and just accept it. If you know, that's what I would recommend. And also, I would recommend looking for somebody. It's very hard to find a woman because women aren't chayv in Torah. So a lot of times, a woman herself can't appreciate like the process of learning as much as a man can. But a woman can value it, and she can value the fact. Like my wife, for example, she wants me to learn every night, and she wants me to have chavrusas, and she's willing to spend more time watching the kids and working more because she values the Torah and she knew. And even though, and also here's a big yisod in terms of finding a girl, the worst midah that you can find in a girl is a girl who can't be alone without you, meaning like a clingy girl, because I'm telling you, it's the worst midah. Because a girl like who needs you to be around all the time, you're never going to be able to learn, and you're going to be unhappy with that situation. But you need to find a girl who's independent enough that, you know, she's okay with you learning and she could do her own thing and it doesn't create strife in the relationship. So I would say if you're dating right now, I would say that's very important. You don't want a girl who just needs you around all the time, needs to talk. I'm also, some people, my personal preference is not for a chatterbox. Like a lot of girls are chatterboxes. And I like more quiet girls, I guess, but that's personal preference. But that is also advantageous, you know, in terms of learning and in terms of... and you want somebody who's on the same page as you. In other words, before I chose... My wife knew what my priorities were. She was actually the one who suggested that I go into physical therapy. I wasn't sure what I wanted to do. And she said, oh, you should go into physical therapy. It's going to be a good job. You'll have good hours. The money will be okay. And, you know, you won't be stressed out. So she was in line. We together created this decision or made this decision, but she was in line with that value system. And my wife's not like, she's not a lamdan. you know, but I talk, discuss ideas with her, and she values it. And she values it in terms of herself and in terms of our children. So, all right. So keep that in mind when you're looking for a girl, all right? You don't want a clingy girl, right? You agree with that?
Yeah, all right. Definitely.
That's very important. All right. So we have two more steps in terms of finding a job. So the next step is, it's kind of a simple step, but it says usnas harabanos. So the Mishnah says that a person should hate leadership, positions of leadership. So it says lefi shemikaberes. This is Rashi. Lefi shemikaberes es ba'aleh. It causes the person to be buried. Kida Omar Mar, like Rav said, mipnei mam meis Yosef kodem echav. So why did Yosef die before the rest of his brothers? Mipnei she nihig atmo barabanos. So because he involved himself in this position of leadership. So what's the idea? So why is leadership bad according to this? What does it mean that it caused him to die early? What is it about leadership that's so bad?
It puts you in the face, like everyone, it involves you with a lot of people, and probably most of them who are not very perfected.
Okay, so why would that cause you to die early? It's just a
lot of stress.
Stress, okay, good. All right, so why did I bring this in? So the idea is that a person shouldn't underestimate stress, okay? When you're looking for a job, you can't just look at hours. You can't just say, oh, I'm working 9 to 5. But if you're stressed out about it at nights, and you take your work home with you, so that has an effect on you, and don't underestimate that effect. So I would say that one of a primary idea that a person should think about when they're choosing a job is not just hours, but it's also and money, but it's also stress. How stressful is it when you get home from work? Are you thinking about your work all the time? You know, how often do you think about it? How much does it weigh upon you? And typically when you're in a position of leadership and other, like, management positions, and other people are dependent on you, so typically that leads to a lot of stress, because a lot of people, their livelihoods are dependent upon you and upon your success. So just keep that in the back of your mind when you're deciding what you want to do. And if you look at this pasuk in Kohelis, it's kind of a similar idea. It says, Mesuka Shnasa Oved, so the sleep of the worker is sweet, like honey. It's sweet. Im at v'im harbe, if it's a little or a lot, yochal, he eats. The hasava, the one who satiated, la'ashir, enenu maniach lo lishon, it doesn't allow him to sleep. So if you look at Rashi over there, he says, Mesuka Shnasa Oved, Oved ha'adama, a person who works the land, yashen va'arava shnaso. He goes to sleep, and his shina, his sleep, is very soothing. Alav. Benshu ochal ma'at, ubenshu ochal harbe, ki kfar hurgal bekach. Whether he eats a lot or eats a little, because he's already used to this. V'hasova la'ashir, inenu maniach lo'lishon. V'sova nechasim, a person who has a lot of property, shel ashir, of a rich person, bal prakmatios, a person who's involved in business, harbe, eno maniach lo'lishon, kol laila mahar bahan. It doesn't allow him to go to sleep. He's always thinking about it. So the idea, just to bring out, according to Rashi, is that that a regularity is good, is much better in terms of stress and in terms of allowing a person to sleep better than the person who makes the big score. Like, there's a lot of people who, especially in finance, you know, a lot of people, they take big hits and they make big scores. So yeah, it's true, you can make a lot of money at once, but that type of profession, it's not a profession that, of regularity. You're not used to getting that paycheck, that normal paycheck, and having that is stressful. It causes a person to think about his money all the time and think about his losses and his gains. So another idea to bring out is that concept of that a person should, in general, should look for a job where there's a certain regularity of pay. Like the jobs where you get that standard paycheck is sometimes more often less stressful than the job where you're making big scores and you're taking big hits. Okay? All right. The last idea, I think, is an important idea, because I've seen a lot of guys that I know in yeshiva, I've seen this happen to them. So so if you look at the Rambam, he says, Shema Tomar, maybe you'll say, Ache Kabetz Mamon Achzor Ve'ekra. So maybe after I gain all this money, I'm going to go back to learning. Ache Ekne Masha Anitzarech Ve'efne Me'iskai Ve'achzor Ve'ekra. So I'll acquire that which I need, and then I'll just disengage from what I was involved in, and I'll go back to learning. Imtale machshava zu al libcha, if this comes to you, and if you think of this, inata zocha la kisra shel Torah leolam, you will never be zocha to the crown of Torah. Ela asei torascha keva umalachtecha arai, So you should make your Torah keva and malacha arrive, lo somar, and you shouldn't say likasha efne eshne, that when I get back to it, I'll go learn shemalo tifne. So what's this case? So a guy shouldn't say, listen, I'm going to work my butt off for 20 years, I'm not going to learn, but then afterwards I'll retire, and then I'll be involved in learning. Right? Why? Because he says shemalo tifne. A person might not be involved in that. So what's the problem with that? So why? What does it mean shemalo tifne? Why is that a problem according to the Rambam? What do you guys think?
I mean, you can die.
Okay, that's good. That's one. Practically, good answer. Danielle says practically a guy could die, so you can't really know how long you're going to live, so a guy could die before he gets to learning. What's another answer? Another possibility? That's a good answer.
Might get out of the habit, out of the...
Good. So the other possibility is that when a guy works, it's not like you can just get out of working and just be engaged in learning. The more a guy works and he's away from learning, the more his emotions are engaged in a different area, and the harder it is for a person to re-engage in learning. So if a guy says that, if he says, oh, in the future, I'll just work my butt off and I'll make as much money as I can, and then I'll go back to learning, so it's a risk that the guy's taking. Why? Because who knows how invested his energy is going to be in work, and to be able to disengage from work and be able to learn, again, is very difficult. Why do I bring this up? Because I think this is important for people who go into graduate school. Because a lot of times, I know of guys who've gone to graduate school, and they've worked so hard that they just gave up their chavrusos and they weren't learning during graduate school. And their goal was to come back to it after graduate school. But I think the idea that that the Rambam's saying, based on a Seitar Aschal Keva, Machtucha Arai, is that a guy shouldn't overestimate his abilities to just re-engage in Torah. And I've seen like a lot of guys who have gone to graduate school who have forgotten about or who gave up their Itam HaTorah, their set chavrusos, and as a result of that, not only has it been really difficult for them to re-engage in Torah, but also they lost a lot of their skills. Because the idea is that when you learn, learning is not just about gaining knowledge, but it's also about utilizing a methodology that you guys are learning in the yeshiva. When you stop learning, you just lose that methodology. So I would suggest that anybody who's going to graduate school maintain chavrusas throughout graduate school. I know it's hard because you have a lot of studying to do and you have a lot of work, but you need to try to maintain a chavrusa in the morning and a chavrusa at night. That way, when you're actually in the work field, at least you'll still be engaged in learning and you'll be able to re-engage. It won't be difficult to re-engage. But don't overestimate it. Don't say, oh, yeah, I'm going to work really hard in graduate school and then eventually I'll come back to learning, because that's a very risky proposition. And A, you may die, like Daniel said, and B, even if you don't die, it's not so easy to just get out of the area that you're in and just go into learning. So just try to maintain that that steady schedule of learning as much as you can. Okay? So that's pretty much, those are the basic ideas, the basic principles. So let me just go over it just one by one. There's basically six principles. The first principle is assess your value system. I don't care if your value system is work first. I'm just telling you that you should at least assess it and at least think about it before you go into a job. Assess how much energy you're going to want to put in Torah and how much energy you're going to want to put in your job and also your family. The second idea is that you need to work because you can't be, if you're poor, it's not a good situation for learning. The third idea that we discussed was the idea of enjoyment in work. You should find some enjoyment at work. It doesn't have to be, if you enjoy one subject, you don't have to limit yourself to one particular career, but it could be, there's a whole array of careers that you may find enjoyment in. The fourth idea is the role of ego. So, of course, we're not on the level of Chazal, but at least we shouldn't let our egos deceive us and put us in a trap where we're going to be removed from our primary value system. The fifth idea is stress, that a person has to recognize the damage of stress and work. And the sixth idea is the idea that when a person disengages from learning and engages in work, it could potentially lead to a person never re-engaging in learning. So don't take the risk of just saying, I'm going to work really hard and make a lot of money, and then I'll go back to learning, because it doesn't work so simply psychologically. All right? You guys accept? Like the ideas? All right.